Welcome to the Life's a Pitch podcast, the show where we pitch the best movies that will never get made. I'm Tom McGrath.
And I'm Matt Turner. This is the podcast where we ask you, the listener, to give us a title of a movie that doesn't exist. Yet.
We then collaborate to create a pitch for that movie, complete with casting, story beats, and sometimes even marketing.
Without further ado, this week's main feature is...
Kaiju films.
Kaiju movies. Kaiju movie. Kaiju film.
The big monsters the big in monsters. The city. The yes. big monsters in the city.
Really big. Like, too big.
I like the idea of, you know, because in, you know, the 90s and like early 2000s, there was like that kind of glut of, it's this guy, but he's in the city.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Dundee.
You've got
Baby's
like,
Day Out.
Some other survival person.
Encino Man.
Tarzan.
Yeah.
Just a lot
Conan.
Of like,
Conan. Conan O'Brien.
He was rampaging across
New York. Oh, that's not their natural habitat.
But yeah, we're doing the opposite of Baby's Day Out.
Yeah.
We've got a big Baby's thing in the city. Yeah. Baby's staying in. Well, we've got Godzillas and Mothras and King Kongs and the other King Kongs.
You should stay in.
Yeah.
You should, you listener should stay inside, indoors and listen to this podcast, right? I mean, because there could be anything stomping all over the place out there. You don't want to get caught in that.
Yeah.
It could be Mothra spores.
Although with the things we're talking about are so big that you're not even safe indoors anymore. Yeah, you know, we're talking about buildings getting crushed and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, watch the skies, I suppose.
And someone who definitely should stay indoors... Terry Silver.
That's welcome, right. Thank you. I have an allergy to the outdoors.
Yeah.
it makes it very difficult to come here today, but I made it. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. In your bubble zone.
I wear like a bubble suit. Yeah. And I ran over. It was fun. It was nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, good. Good to have you on the show. Are you looking forward to pitching some kaiju movies?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I've not watched a lot other than the big ones.
Yeah.
Other than like.
They're all big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than like Godzilla. Like, what even kind of kaiju... Doesn't that kind of come from... Anyway, yes, I'm happy. Yeah.
Nice.
Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, Terry's joining us for this episode. People got in touch with us to give us film titles that we're pitching on the show this week, as we always do.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening,
yeah,
this is what we do. So people got in touch with us on facebook.com/Life's Pitch Podcast, twitter.com/Life's Pitch Show, and patreon.com/Life's Pitch Podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there, give us a like, give us a follow, follow us on Patreon, and give us your titles every week. Matt puts up a post out every week for a specific genre.
Yes.
But if you don't go with convention,
yeah,
just give us a title
if
anyway.
If you don't mind your like film noir title being used as a kaiju movie, then sod it. Do whatever you like. Yeah. It will just make the devil has black shoes a kaiju.
This dame had legs bigger than a skyscraper.
Ooh, a film noir.
The legs went all the way up to the top of the Empire State.
The 18th floor.
So yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take people's titles that they've given us so graciously on the social media and pitch what those movies will be. So shall we get on with it?
I think so.
Can I get out of my bubble?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Feels good to breathe. Like, I know we're still in a room, but it feels good to breathe air that's not in my bubble.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you now have all the plagues.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They say it doesn't kick in until about 2 hours in. Yeah. So I think I should be all right during this.
Well, this records less than an hour, so hopefully you'll be fine.
Please play this at my funeral.
Yeah.
Their last words.
All right, so from Tomasz Chorakowski, we've got Ticketmaster versus Taylor Swift.
What?
Is this some sort of in-joke that I don't know
about? I think
about?
It's a thing that happened where Ticketmaster was charging way too much for Taylor Swift tickets or something.
Right, I don't know.
Or like just Hardly any of the tickets were actually going to fans or something.
Okay, well, yeah, the thing is in America that Ticketmasters are like, Ticketmaster just sells the tickets like for like ridiculous prices because it's like it's
got a monopoly on the thing. Right?
But then they almost go immediately to bots because scalping isn't illegal in the US.
Right.
So people get them and then sell them at an extortionate price on the night or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like weirdly incredibly famous at this point, right? Like where people are just like,
oh yeah,
millions of people will go see her.
It's like, you know, when we saw, I think it was Doctor Strange and Justin Bieber was playing in the arena opposite the cinema. And I said, because like there was cars for fucking miles.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't think Justin Bieber was this popular. And then I just realized what I'd said. Like, I was just like, oh no, wait. Yeah. Justin Bieber is pretty popular. It's like that, level of like,
inoffensive pop is just like so popular to so many people because you can just project. It's like, she's talking about me. And it's like, yeah, because she's talking about every, she's just vaguely saying things about
she's
love
all
and
four
caring.
Of the Beatles crushed into one woman. Yeah.
Well, I think in this case, she's gotten so famous that she's going to be inducted into like a, she needs her own action movie, right? Mm. And this is going to be like a Beatles, Taylor Swift Beatles movie.
Which... I know what you mean. I was like, wait, what? Like, the Beatles have a cinematic universe?
Like, oh, no, wait. Night or whatever, right?
They are going to.
Yeah.
have a cinematic universe.
But, like, Taylor Swift, so I think the Ticketmaster is like a comic book villain style person who buys up all the tickets.
It does sound like a comic book villain name, yeah.
So
like,
I'm the Ticketmaster. You cannot defeat me, Taylor.
So it starts with her like this fully packed out show and then suddenly like, why are only half the audience here? And it's because there's like one guy, like a big guy she can see in the audience, right? He's literally big. Like, he's literally, like, the size of a bus in a balcony at the top, almost like the Phantom of the Opera or something, leaning out over her, like... like
he's just fat with greed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's because he's got... And there's empty space in the... Because he's bought a quarter of the tickets, right? And then every show, he's bigger... And he's bought more of the tickets.
That's nice.
And then you get this shot for the trailer of this big guy, cross-legged, sat in the middle of an arena, no one else there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Taylor Swift in the lights, looking gorgeous, like she's got that kind of like rock star kind of stance with the microphone, standing, singing towards like this guy, this evil-looking guy who stole
the Ticketmaster.
The Ticketmaster in a top hat. He's got kind of a magician vibe.
I like
him
to be so fat that his fat is like bulging over the seat. You know,
all
like he's just,
tickets.
He's just consuming.
All just he's like made a suit out of tickets. giant, like the Stape of Marshmallow Man, just with like tickets flapping.
Go ahead, perform.
Oh, he's like Oogie Boogie. Right.
Yeah.
Except instead of, this is the way I think you mix in this sort of circus magician vibe, the showman vibe, because you have, it's like, you know, Oogie Boogie Man from
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mr. Oogie Boogie.
Bag of kind of insect.
Oh, he's like fabric with insects inside.
It's that, but with those strings of, he's bound up with those strings of tickets from like an arcade. You know, that print out, like in those.
I was thinking that, like, he started out as a kid, like, nailing it at arcades. He got all the tickets. And, like,
I just need the most prestigious tickets. And who is more prestigious than Taylor Swift?
And
I don't know who is playing this role, by the way.
Kevin Eldon.
nice.
Who would have dreamed?
Kevin Eldon would be starring opposite Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Double billing of Taylor Swift and Kevin Eldon. It just so happens Taylor Swift is also directing this movie and she's a massive fan of British sitcoms from the noughties.
And I think the way she defeats him is by beating him at skeet ball, you know, the sort of like... You fling it up a thing and you got to get it into a...
Oh, yeah.
But first, they've got, like, she's got to get real big. Like, she's going to get real big in this stadium.
Yeah, she's in a mech.
Yeah,
she's
in a mech.
Made out of her fans.
Yes. Yeah. She's in a mech made out of her fans and some speaker stacks.
It's either that or, like, she's like, you know how Sonic can take down Dr. Robotnik's giant mechs by just being really fast? Maybe that's why she's called Taylor Swift.
She's
Taylor Fast. She's origins.
Gotta go fast! I'm Taylor Swift!
I think it's just a matter of, like, you know, she's trying to take him down physically, like, mm-hmm. she's trying to, and her fans are trying to help her, but he keeps bashing them off and, like, sort of throwing them to like, the sides. And some of them have died. Paper cuts. This is what they get when he takes them down. Paper cuts.
Irritating pain.
Yeah. And she goes to visit a fan, a little boy in hospital who's been paper cutted on his face. And she's like, I'm gonna beat Ticketmaster. I don't think I can beat him. And the kid's like, I believe in you, Taylor Swift.
You've just got to find out what his origin is.
Yeah, so she goes back to the fun fair where it started.
Nice. And, there's some crusty guy there with a cigarette like, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I saw the Ticketmaster.
Who wants to know?
Yeah, we used to call him Jimmy Tickets.
And I think she beats him at skeetball.
Yep.
Amazing,
he's got to take the tickets off.
Because he's so big, he's playing skateball like up a big ramp on a skate park or something, or, like into a huge hoop of a...
Every time she beats him, another ticket comes off.
Oh, she's
good. That's
it. Every point down.
Could maybe the way she gets him is because he's so big and fat and round, she actually skee-balls him down the thing into the hole of abyss at the end.
Yeah. It's a metaphor for Ticketmaster.
Well, I think like
What is it a metaphor for?
Right. So I've got it. He doesn't understand her art. He doesn't understand art at all, mm-hmm. right? Because he was always just playing games. He only did it to win. He just wanted these tickets to have the tickets, right? They're a matter of prestige, so he has them, right?
Yeah.
She's like, okay, the only way I can bring him down is by beating him at arcade games. I've tried him skeetball. He's too good at it. Pinball, he's too good at it. Mm. That basket thing, like...
Mm. The claw machine.
The claw machine, shooting targets down. He's so good at all of these things. How can I beat him? And then she sees, she spies. There's a music trivia machine. She knows, she loves all this music.
Mm.
And she's got this, like, you know, that's who she is, right? She knows all about music. He can't possibly beat her.
He's only good at minor skill games.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and he never, because he doesn't, and he never understood music. He never bothered. Yeah. And so she beats him at that once, and he's like, no, I can beat you next time.
Nobody can beat Taylor Swift at singing.
Nobody can beat, SingStar as well. Yeah, nobody can beat me at arcade games. I'll take you down with next time, Taylor. And she plays him over and over again, and you get a montage, and he's getting smaller and smaller as the tickets all spindle out.
You've got the arrows of Dance Dance Revolution coming up as well.
Just kicking his ass and those things.
That's definitely a Taylor Swift movie right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we should do that for a genre.
The only thing I'd add is this is clearly going to be a vehicle for Taylor Swift, breaking into the film industry or whatever. And so we're going to probably spend a lot of time in the first act, like seeing her just doing her daily life and on her way to the concert while the Ticketmaster stuff is happening.
Seem approachable.
So we need to totally play up. Do you remember in Space Jam where Michael Jordan, the multimillionaire famous, he just lives in a kind of nice house in the suburbs. We'll have to play that kind of she just lives in a quaint little place. It's a middle class home. She's totally relatable, guys.
And she doesn't like singing anymore because it's got too corporate.
Yeah. She spilled coffee at the start. Yeah. She goes to Starbucks, gets coffee. Oh, no, I dropped it.
Yeah, we play up the pressure on everyone Taylor, you were supposed to be a concert 20 minutes ago. Get out there. And say, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to play another game of Fortnite.
She having mic issues. It's so hard being Taylor Swift, guys.
I'm relatable. So from Super Dimension Fortress Mac Ross, we've got Flee for Your Life.
Flee for Your Life. Is that Flee like the insect?
Well, They're both spelt the same, aren't they? What's the other one?
That's a good point.
F-L-E-E or F-L-E-E.
Oh, no, it is spelt like the insect.
Okay.
I thought you were going with Flea from the Red Hot Chili
Peppers. I was thinking that a little bit as well, yeah.
Which is what I think this should be.
What? Wait, we're doing another...
A human that's
one.
Really big.
I mean, he's not that big.
No, as in, no, I mean like, that he becomes...
Not as big as Taylor Swift. But...
No, big as in physically big.
Yeah. Or no, maybe Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is just running after people.
Well, so Flea wrote a song called Pea.
I'm a little pea.
Love the sky and the trees.
Yeah. Sounds very Randy Newman-esque.
And it's quite an angry song, I think.
I remember my friend put that on repeat at a sleepover once. And every time it started, we could just hear him chuckling. Like, I'm a little pee.
I like the idea that, like, I'm a little pee is the foundation of this. I don't think anyone knows enough about Michael Balzary. Flea to I think you should have a cameo in this, but it should be about a big flea.
Okay, right.
Oh. Which makes you wonder. I think there's a cosmic horror to this because you're battling a big fleas.
Yeah.
And then it makes you wonder where they came from.
Yeah. But well, big fleas and also like fleas, we can't barely even see fleas.
Mm.
Like if there's a giant flea, what does that mean?
What does it live on?
Yeah.
I was just thinking that. Like, fleas are so small that I think, like, the kaiju version of a flea would be, like, the size of a pig. Like, that's massive. Yeah. That's still insane for a flea. So it's, but for us, I guess, it's not as super impressive.
I like the idea that Earth is just impacted by, like, a meteor.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't know if you know how, like, fleas jump. But they just do not give a shit where they go, right?
It's just random.
They're mostly leg. They do not target. Basically, they see something. They sense something nearby that's warm, and they just go, ping, and they just like, they have no guidance system. They just fire, and that. Means that, like, because there's so many of them, they just, some of them will get there, right?
And it's like they jump a crazy height in comparison to their body, right?
Exactly.
So that's going to be so, like, intense.
The speed that this thing's going, hurtling through space, a space flea, impacting Earth is going to be like a meteor.
Voiced by Danny DeVito.
Right.
All we hear is,
it like breaks the sound barrier.
Yeah.
And so like Earth gets done battling this flea. It's like, and it takes like tanks and it takes everything we've got.
Mm.
And then like, this is like a first act. And then it's like, wait, where did that flea? What did that flea? They finally dissect it, finally figure out what it is that it's a flea.
Yeah.
And just figure out like, oh shit, what did it come from?
Yeah.
And like by this point, it's already laid eggs.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like, you know, like, and then there's like a big cat hurtling.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Behind the sun,
the size of a planet. Like that.
That's how the film ends.
Yeah.
Then just looking up at a telescope and seeing this giant cat.
By the way, I like your Danny DeVito is the voice of the flea, by the way. They got him for an afternoon to record dialogue, so some of it sounds a bit like it's very half-assed, like ADR recording.
Yeah, but it's like, it's kind of like the tanks turn up and they're trying to fight this flea and he's just going like, a boingy boingy!
get off like, of it! Yeah, get off of it!
There's a big kick and the biggest tank that Earth's ever made goes flying off into space.
Jump, jump real high!
Wa-boing!
Oh! So that was Flea for Your Life. All right, so from Ash Raup, we've got Frogzilla.
Frogzilla.
Sam Newton also added to this comment saying, I was coming here to put this title down.
So it's a popular choice.
Yeah, popular idea.
Okay.
So Sam Newton's put Frogzilla 2 down.
So I have a piece of fun frog biology for you that I think is going to be important.
This better be fun.
Yay, fun facts about frogs.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
I can't wait.
Turns out frogs don't have much of a digestive system, like a particularly complex digestive system with like sphincteral systems and things like that. Mm. They just eat stuff and it just sort of like, they just hope it's dead and sits there and falls over, right? But it's important that things can't get out of its mouth.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't matter after that.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
Thing is, some bugs have evolved once they're eaten to just effectively speed run a frog's digestive system.
Like go through it and come out the other end.
And come out the other end alive.
Wow.
Without getting digested.
Matt, this sounds like a scientist explaining how they're going to take down Frogzilla.
Literally, yes.
Oh, save it. Yeah, save it. Because that's going to come in handy. Yeah.
It's essentially like, you know, when...
do it in Jeff Goldblum's voice.
Like when you get shrunk down and put into a body, except it's like, we need to get to the other end of this frog.
Yeah.
Journey to the other end of the frog.
Okay, then that's good. Okay, hang on to that, because that's like, I feel like we're going to need to come back to that.
Does it kill the frog? Like,
no,
I can imagine
no.
It just like, it gets eaten and then just bursts out the other side.
It didn't burst out the other side, it just crawls and then wanders off. But sometimes it gets eaten again by the frog.
What I had in my mind was, you know that bit in Flubber where Flubber goes into his mouth and then it's just sort of bouncing around inside.
Don't remind
so the
me of that.
There,
shoots out of his hand.
That was not
there,
a satisfying
is that,
scene.
Is that like frogs aren't wearing trousers so it can get out fine.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's true. Frogzilla. I feel like we had the film, the Americanized Godzilla from 2000-ish.
1998. The Roland Emmerich one.
Roland Emmerich,
Quite Deeper Underground is the soundtrack.
Oh, nice. It was very much more lizard-like, wasn't it? It was kind of looked like an iguana or a Komodo dragon or something.
Yeah.
They were going for more of a lizard-y kind of look with that. So I feel like that's closer to the realm of... That was a weird film.
Yeah. That was a very strange film. Yeah. It has a cast which I completely misremembered. I thought it was...
Loads of Simpsons characters, actors for some reason. Voice actors.
It's like Matthew Broderick, who I thought was... Matt LeBlanc from Friends for years.
Hmm.
Like when I'd seen it and then gone back to watch it and be like, what, Matthew Broderick's in this movie? And I thought like Jeff Goldblum was in it. Turns out to be Jean Reno.
The Independence Day was around the same time.
Yeah,
I think. They got a bit meshed together and he was in that.
Same director as well. No.
Other frog fact, in America there are spaces that are like quiet zones where like no planes fly over and stuff, like you don't have anything that makes noise like that would pervade, because there are certain species of frog that require very specific frequencies to find each other to mate and stuff. Now
we don't want to interfere with that.
Exactly. I would posit that it's not because they need to find each other, but because we don't want to wake the big one up.
Oh, take your tinfoil hat.
That's nice. So like buried underground, there's some sort of huge frog.
There's a big swamp, big bog in the middle of America somewhere. And all the flight paths, and then let's say it's, Ben Mendelsohn's like, why are we not... Well, I'm losing $100 million every day because I can't fly a plane through that part of the fucking country.
I was about to say, is he a pilot or
he's an executive, but he's wearing a pilot's outfit.
Yeah,
just to show everyone what his business
That's
is.
Nice. I like the middle America kind of stuff. It always seems to be
And he's like, I'm trying to make money here, and your stupid national parks are making a mockery of my airline.
Yeah, why does no one fly from Dallas to New York in a straight line? Why do we have to go round this place marked Frogland?
Quiet. Shush. It just says on the map, shush.
It'd be nice if there was an old like hill there or something. It's actually not a hill. It's just the sleeping beast, but it's been dormant for like 100 years or something.
Yeah.
So it's just, grass has grown on it.
An island in the middle of a big lake.
That's nice. We could have a moment where like a naughty couple sneaks onto the land to make out over the night, and they swim over to onto the land or whatever, and then you know it starts to rumble, and it's like
he doesn't get it. He's like, I'll go back. I'll go and grab us the beers from that I put on the shore, and he like walks to the other side of the island, and then just suddenly just goes. Like something licks out and just grabs him. Yeah,
this is how the movie starts.
And she's like
that's good. That's good. Like,
where did you go, Dad?
She's trying to find him in the dark. Yeah. You say like, yeah. And then she gets swarmed by little frogs, and it's like, get off me!
Oh yeah, frog spawn. Like she's like, I've got. She tries to swim back to get help, and the frog spawn all just.
There's like one huge frog spawn. It's
tadpoles the size of cars.
Yes.
Going around. So this is
cut, and it's like that's your opening, what's that all about?
And like the moment you mentioned is like a giant hill or mountain or something that I'm coming to the conclusion that it's in the Appalachian Mountains, which is on the east coast of America.
Sure, okay.
Now, someone associated with the Appalachian Mountains is the Mothman. So I really like the idea that Point Pleasant that's where the Mothman's associated.
Who's the Mothman?
The cryptid. Like Loch Ness or something. There's like this giant Mothman that stood on a bridge once and it fell over.
Awfully Mothra related sounding.
This is the thing. I love the idea that like Mothman's not been seen for a while.
Been eaten by Frogzilla.
Like someone snapped a photo of Mothman flying over the mountains with this giant tongue halfway up.
And that's when they meet them, because obviously they meet him inside. Anyway, we need to cast the main characters of this movie. We need to see because we've got Ben Mendelsohn. We've got Big Bad Business Ben. He's the pilot with an attitude who somehow manages to charter a flight through a quiet zone.
It sounds like we're going for a very westernized kind of thing. So we probably just want a kind of every man kind of local person that people will root for, right?
Like that's true.
Carl McLaughlin.
Sure,
Who's Carl?
He's the detective from Twin Peaks.
And also he was in Dune.
The 1984.
Very square head. Carl
McLaughlin, I like it, and what he's an everyman. He's not... All he does is he's a national park ranger.
Yeah.
Right? He's from the local area. He just knows that you don't go into that. Like he's the person who maintains the fences that were trying to keep that couple out, right?
Yeah.
Like,
can we sprinkle in a little bit like he's divorced or something, and he's a bit jaded, little thing like
well,
that?
Well, yeah, you want it to be something he can learn, like from the
beast,
because the beast is right. We've got to remember, in order to defeat this beast, we have to confront within ourselves, read the characters that. Ill of mankind that this beast represents.
There's a metaphor yet to be defined.
We're gonna figure that out.
Yeah, don't worry, it'll come.
Okay, it's so like disturbing nature or something. I don't know.
I like that. Yeah. I was just thinking, just skipping ahead a teeny bit, like the stuff, I like this photo of the tongue in the sky and stuff. Maybe there's on the part, there's a guy living in a caravan, he's a bit of a conspiracy theorist kind of guy. He snagged the photo and he's constantly trying to convince people, you know, that there's something there, there's a beast or something. No one believes him, obviously.
Reese Darby.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, he's played plenty of tinfoil hat wearers before, and he'll do it again, I bet.
I was going to say,
New Zealand.
Yes.
I was going to say him or the guy who plays Samwell Tarly from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but he fumbled the bag last time, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He played that role in Moonfall.
Yeah, that was pretty.
And good Lord.
He really fumbled the bag on that
one. Oh, my God, what a terrible performance. But yeah, no, Reese Darby, definitely better choice.
He's all right in Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
He's acceptable.
Yeah.
but Reese Darby's gonna be our I got this picture. Nobody believes that it's real, unfortunately.
Funnily enough, Reese Darby has been involved in the most recent evidence of Loch Ness.
Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah. Yeah, he loves cryptids, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Only in, like, the last month or so, they've released this, like, video that, I mean, I don't think he had much of a hand in, but he is associated with this video. It's, like, it's a lot of photos of, like, this thing coming up out of Loch Ness.
This is great. It'll be a passion project for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. We've got Mothman. We've got this giant frog.
I'm telling you, there's something in there in that frog reservation.
I developed this anti-Mothman spray. Unfortunately, I don't need it anymore.
You got that nice dry pan, that is how we do it.
I've got my big swatter ready for if Mothman comes.
Now I've got
he fucking hates Mothman. And he's kind of in the, when they find him, he's in a depression. He's the only one who knows where this toad lives. Mm. It's been roaming at night and then like returning back.
Wait, how big is this frog?
He's been like,
it's massive.
I've been getting these been doing these signals. Look, you can tell at night. See the patterns, you know, and he's trying to convince. And our ranger is kind of like he somewhat like lets his stories, but he's not really paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, like, he humours him a little.
I think
on his rounds, Carl McLaughlin visits Rhys Darby for a cup of tea. Every round.
That's nice. Yeah.
So checking on each other quite a bit.
I just to make our main character more like likable.
Yeah.
It could be like he's technically not supposed to be there. He's living on the reservation, but he lets him live there because it's like
he's not
doing bad
any
for him.
Damage, is he?
Yeah.
And he respects, you know, he respects nature. He respects the sanctity of the national park. He doesn't cause any fuss. Mm. He's all right to be there. Mm. Maybe. It's that people are like, things that are making loads of noise are going missing because the baby frogs, like it's this spawn is hatching.
Yeah.
Like the sort of baby frogs are coming out of the pond and like being drawn to things that make a lot of noise. So there's teens having a party. There's like, and we are still going to see Frogzilla, like this mountain, like rise and do stuff.
Yeah.
But we get to have this percolating threat of people going missing because big frogs are like eating them and heading back to the pond.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the bigger, they're not kaiju, several low ones, but still big frogs are like collecting people and taking them to the big frog. Maybe
the size
kaiju
of cars,
frog.
The size of Lightning McQueen.
Nice.
Yeah,
<that's laughs>
huge.
And I like the thing of like, Rhys is talking about like, but they're couple, you know, he's talking about main character and he's like, you know, about a couple missing recently. I'm pretty sure they got taken by the frog. And our mate, and the main dude's like, you know, hey, it's a national park. People go missing. It's just what happens.
Why
you don't need to jump to these conclusions.
Every time, so like the Appalachian Mountains as well, very like synonymous with like national park disappearances. Yeah. And there's like this whole sort of conspiracy theory vibe about it. Yeah. Not one of them mentions giant frogs. This is great.
This is good. It's got like Tremors vibes. This is nice. Yeah.
So, Carl McLaughlin and Rhys Darby. I think there's one person who is investigating this from outside, who's doesn't live in the national park. Ming-Na Wen.
Ming-Na Wen.
Maybe she's an investigator. Maybe she's like. It could be that she's on holiday. It could be that she's
she's just on holiday.
Could be.
Yeah.
Is she like a scientist maybe who's like also reading these things and giving a bit of credibility to the stories?
Sure,
maybe,
yeah. She could be like studying like the actual, you know, the party line as we you know, that I told you before, the frogs find each other from sound. She knows that sort of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Nice. And she's like, you know, they say that like these special kind of frogs, there's no actual upper limit to how old they can be. It's like, you know, like lobsters and stuff.
Yeah.
Where they could theoretically live forever if nothing killed them. Like Ming-Na Wen's like,
oh no, I made a fool of myself saying that the other day because it's not true.
Well, that's fine.
yeah
this is a movie.
Oh yeah Yeah.
It's true enough. Heard it.
Yeah,
like people won't question it.
These
I want to say seismologist. She's a seismologist.
Oh,
is that what they?
Why is the planes have started to fly over, and now like.
She's picking up tremors.
Since then, there's like been all sorts of weird activity going on.
I kind of like
picking up tremors from the video shop.
Well, I think she should
as
be.
Well
a,
as
I think
study.
She should be a biologist who's interested in this species of frog.
Oh, maybe that makes more
because
sense.
Because then she's going, well, their meeting stuff is disrupted by sound.
Oh, she's going there to try to protest and be like, we need to
exactly.
Keep it.
She needs to publish a report.
The new mayor says, the new mayor's thinking about the money that can flow in like they let it be a flight path, you know, above the area.
Like nothing's actually coming into the town. It's just
nice.
Like in this world, like again, it's a movie.
No,
so
they
it's...
have unique acoustics as well. Yeah. You two have been brought in to do a big concert in the mountains.
Just tourism is dying, so they're trying to like revive it a little bit. Yeah, the mayor decides, you know what, screw the frogs. He's also New Zealand, why not? He's like, screw the frogs. Yeah, just let the planes fly in. And she comes in being like, this isn't right. You know, these frogs need protecting.
And I think basically the arc here is that she's investigating. Kyle MacLachlan gets pulled along like looking for these missing people. Rhys Darby's like the only one that Kyle knows how to who knows like what's going on. Maybe he's got some wild theories, but you know he was out there at the time, so maybe
and a nice little comic relief as well, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they get eaten by the frog and then but they know also that Ming-Na Wen's able to tell them, hey, this frog is responding to the vibrations. We can't have anything loud happening. Mm-hmm. And then, at this point, plane gets latched out of the sky.
Yeah.
Right?
You two were on it.
You two... it was the producer of like you two who were about to play a massive
the mayor's
stadium
like, damn
game.
It
if we don't get out of this frog and warn them not to play at that concert, U2 concert, this frog is going to eat everyone in that stadium. Like, that's the big, like...
the stakes.
Yeah, that's the stakes. Is that everyone at U2 gig is going to die, which...
So, Ming-Na Wen, as this frog's making its way over the mountains, like the giant tortoises in Detective Pikachu, bringing trees with it and stuff like that.
That's what I was hoping for, that kind of moment of, like, the world's... And you can't even understand what's happening for a moment, and the whole ground starts shifting and stuff underneath them. I think that's because they need maybe they're all going to investigate.
Yeah,
at some
they're
point.
In a little boat.
Obviously, our main character is reluctantly doing it, and the others are more intrigued, and eventually get swept along. They end up on this, and it's got to have that moment, right? Where they're playing, maybe they're playing speakers to try to attract something.
And then just over in the distance, over across the hills, there's just lights, and like you can hear, hello, hello.
They're doing sound check.
They're just doing sound check. But like, I like the idea of like, we need Ming-Na Wen's gone. Oh, so we can fly through the frog if we just take on the traits of this insect.
Yes. And they've got the boat that they were. So like,
oh no, no, we've got a plane.
We've
got a plane which takes on the things.
Well, they've got the chassis of a plane and a boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they, I'm thinking because. Oh, I'm thinking, like, you were, Terry, you were saying that there's this scene when they get eaten, right? Like, when they're playing some sound, they're playing some sound from a boat. Rhys Darby's got his head under the water looking for something in the depths. They're doing sonar, they're looking for, like, there must be something down there, not realizing that it's this island. And then the island rears its head.
That's nice.
The tongue sweeps out, catches them with their big speakers and their whole boat.
The whole time he's just, like, looking... He's got his headphones on and he's looking, where is this thing? And behind him, it's just like rising out of the water.
Like Jaws.
Great moment.
Then there's that moment of revelation when they're in there. They meet Mothman and he's like, Doom. Right, who's playing Mothman, by the way?
Just a guy.
I think he's just some guy who has a costume. Like, it's just a...
Jeff Goldblum was flying around as Mothman trying to scare people off,
They're doomed. They're doomed. And they're like, what do you mean they're doomed? The people on the plane, they're doomed.
guys, I just got word in that we can't afford U2, but we can get Coldplay. Acceptable.
Even more acceptable losses when that whole concert goes. but the, like, you know, grabs the plane out of the air, right? And then they have to use the chassis of this plane, like weld the chassis of this plane to this boat.
Who's going to fly it? I think I can fly it.
The guy who caused all of this.
Yeah.
I do like the scale works out with, now we've got a humongous frog and planes become like flies. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it does look about right. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
I mean, they just have to sort of like rowing this boat out of the frog. like it's, you know, bug legs.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, sort of walking this capsule through the whole...
Well, what they end up making is something that looks rather like the ornithopters from Dune.
Yeah.
Like the giant mosquito.
I like that maybe the lady knows the fact you were saying about, like, you know, that
going
things can
through,
get...
Yeah.
So maybe they build something that has like a protective layer. She's like, well, technically, you know, through an average frog's digestive system, things don't get digested that much, you know, towards the end. So if we were to reinforce a vessel, we could make it through it.
Yes.
And then it turns out like a Fantastic Journey kind of thing where the third act is more about they want to get swallowed and work their way through and to plant some dynamite in it or something.
Oh, yeah, and they get to the Coldplay or U2 concert to stop it.
Yeah, and the frog's on the way to it and they've got to like get in before then and blow up this frog before it gets to the concert.
Well, Chris Martin and or Bono is going, no, we can't not play. This is going to be the best gig ever. The Queen of England's here.
You know what's interesting? We lost a lot of the budget halfway through, so we actually did film a lot with Bono, and we can use it, but then the rest has to be Coldplay. So it's it always looks like U2, but they're playing Coldplay songs.
Chris Martin in sunglasses.
So I like this thing where they have the dynamite, right? Because I kind of want that to be almost a red herring. This comedy moment where essentially they're like, okay, Ming Na Wen's like, no, it won't. Don't do that. And then, like, you know, what did I say? Ben Mendelsohn like throws this dynamite into this pit. You know, like this, the
lower intestine or something.
Yeah. And the frog's standing there, like, and this is the thing about frogs, right? They're not like hunters of, like, they're not crawling and going, where is it? Ah, I'm gonna get it.
I wish they were.
They just sit there, right? Which is better for me, right? Yeah. This whole concert, like stadium of people is stood there in silence, staring down the barrel of an enormous frog.
Which is about as big as the concert, bigger?
I would say so. Yeah. And they're all just staring at it like, what? And there's that moment of silence. And then someone's like, ah, runs away. And the frog just,
the frog needs to leap at some point, right? It needs to do a big frog jump. And it's like, it crushes into the earth as it takes off. Like,
you know, like the Hollywood Bowl, the performance theatre.
Yes.
Okay, like a big amphitheatre.
Like, it looks like a giant, like, clamshell.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, it could be like a frog's mouth opening. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea that it sort of, like, if it's a big... It sort of swallows the entire back of this stage.
Damn. As it's before, when they're staring it down, there needs to be a bit where it croaks, right?
Yeah.
And it's like echoes out throughout the lands.
Everyone thinks it's a plane.
And then or like an earthquake.
Yeah.
And that's when they bring, like, they're bringing in the fighter planes and the tanks and it's eating all those things because they're the things that are moving, right?
Yeah.
The crowd are like in fear, frozen in fear. They're like, they've seen what happens to people when they try and run.
Yeah.
They just get yonked because it's like watching for
making
the thing
noise
that moves.
Maybe they get on the speakers or, like, I don't know if they're eating at this point or what, but like,
well, the good guys are in there still, kind of like, we're sort of like
navigating the insides.
Exactly. Mm. And I like the idea that sort of, like, you know, there's this Ben Mendelsohn throws this dynamite into the pit and then the frog just goes like, it just farts out a little cloud of smoke.
What are we gonna do?
And then basically Ming Na Wen has to basically go out and go like, just play it to sleep. And then and then that's when Chris Martin's like, I can do that.
Now it is Chris Martin. It starts as Bono, now it is Chris Martin at the end. Yeah.
We have a whole subplot of Chris Martin getting really annoyed that, like...
They turn everything up to 11.
Like, he's reading a review at the beginning of the movie that's like, oh god, latest Coldplay album.
What a snoozer.
They've said my new album can make frogs go to sleep.
Yeah, and he's like, well, they'll see. I'm gonna play a load of thrash metal, he's saying. Like, we're gonna do some real loud stuff. And then when eventually, like, Ming-Na Wen comes over the loudspeakers, which she manages to tune into because of Rhys Darby's special, like, radio tuner, as they're able to get a little aerial out the bum of this,
and they're still in there for the rest of the movie.
Still in there for the rest of the movie, yeah.
To save the day, they have to play a soothing tune, yeah. Look at the stars, look how they shine.
The frog's looking up. The stars
and all the things
and then in the middle of this Hollywood Bowl like amphitheater, it just lays down and goes to sleep.
Yeah,
and everyone's singing along because they're all yellow.
Too much. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that everyone's holding up like lighters and things like that.
And it ends with like an advert for a UK tour that they're doing.
Yeah, perfect. You'll get sent to sleep. If you come to the Coldplay UK tour,
it's just a tie-in promotional thing.
Yeah, sleep.
It's the only way we got it funded, you know.
Yeah. Frogzilla.
Yeah, that's why we couldn't get U2, but we could get Coldplay because we made a deal.
But we kept the scenes in that we had of Bono and the group. Makes no logical sense. Yeah. At one point, they just turn into Coldplay.
We're like, there is a CG's cheap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there is a scene where Bono and the Edge morph.
Oh no, we do a little transition.
We've got an over shoulder shot at some points where it's like clearly Bono shoulder, yeah. And then the reverse is just Chris Martin.
Yeah, it keeps. Yeah, yeah. And seemingly in any shot, it could be either of them way through. Like, yeah. We're just hoping that American audiences don't know those bands well enough to just blend them together in their minds anyway.
All British people are the same to them, yeah.
Basically. All right, so that was Frogzilla. Any ideas of Frogzilla 2 from Sammy?
The sequel.
Yeah.
The squeakquel.
All right. So those were all our titles.
We did it.
We made it. We did. We didn't get stomped.
We did.
No.
Neither did you, listener.
And Terry's still alive.
Yeah.
Still,
I'm going to get back in my bubble in a minute, though, guys, because I'm really not feeling well.
Before you do, I've heard on the grapevine that there are other times you're going to get out of your bubble soon. Maybe out onto a stage.
Oh yeah, well, I have to have the air conditioning looked at in the venues that I work at. But yes, that's true. Is this plug time? That was a subtle hint to, okay.
It's plug time.
It's plug time.
Get your sockets out. It's plug time.
Everything Side Quest. Side Quest is a thing I do. It's a comedy show that mashes D&D and just classic improvised comedic storytelling and mesh together in a beautiful way, and the audience gets to decide the things that happen. There's a big inflatable dice we roll. It's a lot of fun and silliness, and that's the biggest thing I'm doing at the moment. Yeah. And we're touring it around because it's been going well. We're gonna go to Edinburgh Fringe this year. Mm. Tom's in it.
I'm in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom regularly play the villain.
Often play the villain, yeah.
And you can imagine how that goes. You've heard Tom be the villain a million times.
Yeah. Like, listen to these voices that I do and just imagine the body movements that are coming.
Yeah. Actually, to be fair, that's a whole layer. Yeah. I get that every week. You don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's unlock that layer of Tom performance.
Someone recently described it as a mix of Critical Role and Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh wow.
And I was like, that is a great review.
No, that is right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really nice review. So if that sounds somewhat appealing to you at all, please check us out. We might be coming to a place near you, maybe, who knows. That's on Instagram, we're SideQuest Show. On Facebook, it's SideQuest Troupe, because a SideQuest show was already taken, apparently, by some knobhead.
Burn the bridges, burn!
Yeah, and give us a follow and a like, and much appreciated. Thank you.
If you... I've been to multiple shows, and they are always good, and you should go and do it, especially because they're touring, and therefore might be near you sooner than you think. So
it is weird plugging a show that I'm in on this show. It's really odd.
It's like, so indulgent of you,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, it's like one of those guys who has a podcast that also does like stand-up comedy and is like, I'm going on tour. Come see me at this place.
That's cute.
And I'm like, oh no. What have I become?
If you want to support us, if you want to support Tom in a different way, through this alley, then you can, of course, go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and give us a little bit of money, basically to get bonus content, but also just to help the podcast out, help us keep paying for hostage and all that sort of thing. You also get your name read out. It doesn't have to be your name technically, but thankfully, everyone in our Patreon does just put their name. Of course, we'd like to thank Spanky, Super Dimension Fortress, Mac Ross, Get Yourself a Naughty Worm Bucket Meal, Stephen D. Thomas, Jingle Bells, Orcs Do Smell, We're Gonna Keep Vlogging This Christmas Episode Until We Get Off Our Asses and Make a New One, or Fingers to Hand, Lisan Al-Ghaib taking the ginger electrician's wife to Finger Avenue while he sorts your fuses out, James Delaney, me chanting worm, 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 you chanting worm, 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 the entire theatre chanting worm, worm, worm. It was me all along. The name's Gumboot. Ptolemy Gumboot. Chicago PD. Retired. There. See. A confession. Case closed. The difference between me and Darth Vader is that I have arms and legs and he has the will to live.
What?
Wish I'd gone to gut level now. Hell, even climbing would be better than this downpour of awful. Brent Black. Question box. Retired. Thanks, Inspector. You did it. Lock them up and have the keys shot. And young Thomas, never fitting, still is sitting, on the bust of Matthew, just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a Joseph Hegarty, that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er them streaming throws their podcast upon the floor. And my soul from out that shadow lies floating on the floor, perched, sat, considered, Matt, a bird, the inspector, nevermore. The serial dragon and family, Mr. Bennett made no answer. Deny human, deny human, deny human. Lexator Parsnack and his revolving spice mines. You want the Patreon name length secret? We have a Bene Gesserit who just shouts longer. Hark, the herald angels sing of the second Patreon account I created to join this stupid ARG. Duncan Idaho being a brat and saying no when the big lady tells him what to do. Zoe wearing a cone of silence to the cinema, and everyone thinks I'm just a fucking puppy. You idiots are going to all get caught by the voice. Time to cancel Tom for being a pinko commie who hides under beds. Nutmeg, the lacrimose donkey. Thank you to all those people.
Brilliant. Thank you to everyone on our Patreon list. And thank you for Terry again for coming on this episode.
Gracias. I'm going to get back in my bubble if that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. And we end this show with the Yes Very Clever Award, as we always do, which this week was given to us by Jeff Beard, who's given us The Muppets Take and Eat Manhattan. So until next week, I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
I'm Terry Toes McGuffin. Remember who pitched it.